That's exciting. We are not a glum lot. Hi, I'm Susan. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And for those of you that have known me for a while, I will preface it that I will set my timer for 20 minutes. Because I have a tendency, you know, I always say like, oh, I'll take, you know, 10 minutes or whatever, and I don't realize how long I go for. But I get excited. When I talk about recovery, I really do. And so, timer set. So, want to go ahead, thank Susan and the committee putting together an event like this. Really, we get to stay sober, but the people that are coming from halfway houses and new to recovery and, you know, bringing new life into the program, this is really an opportunity to see, like, hey, life is not over. Like, for myself, talking to the mic? Okay. So, is that better? Okay. So, when I tell you a little bit, because I have on my here notes, to first talk about my qualifications, you know, what brought me to recovery, two treatments, a hospital, and jail. So, all by the age of 20. there was just from early on, like, I liked more. I never was comfortable in my own skin. I always was dying to belong, and I always felt different. So I would try to fit in wherever I was, and try to, you know, just no matter where I was, I couldn't wait for the next thing. Like, right, you're all anxious. You're like, oh, I'm going to the party, and I remember reading this at a meme one time. It said, oh, I've been, you know, so anxious to go to a party, and then when it comes, I'm scared to go. You know, and I was like, I don't know if everyone understands that, but I understand that. And so, like, all never comfortable in my own skin, always looking for someplace else. And when I started drinking, man, that really, you know, gave me that opportunity. And when I found cocaine, I could drink more. And when I found crack, then I didn't have to think at all. I laughed because it was like, my thinking was done for me. How am I going to get more? I absolutely need more. And so I had been in a treatment center for 21 days, and I remember thinking, I love recovery. This is great. I remember going to Milwaukee Psych, and they had on-site meetings, and I would go down there, and I'd be like, everyone was, you know, smiling, and they were, you know, had stories about, you know, being able to live life. And I mean, towards the end, I couldn't live. Like, there was times, like, I wouldn't leave my house because I thought the cops were outside and gonna break it, like, you know, we're gonna bust me. And it's, you know, like a nightmare, right? Or that someone was watching, or and you would think that sounds like a horror movie, but I would want to do it again and again. And so, you know, I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, I can, you know, go to bed at night and get up in the morning. Because, you know, it was like my first, I guess, real sense of some normalcy when I went to treatment. Because even, like, at my house, like, we didn't have a lot of structure. My mom had, you know, a drinking problem. My dad had a drinking problem. So they were preoccupied, right? And so, like, I had some structure. And I remember thinking, oh, I'll stay sober forever. Like, this is great. And so when we got out of treatment, I remember there was like a group of us, and we would hang out, and we would come to things like this, and we'd be like, man, this is great. Oh, they all dressed up, you know, great. And, you know, I have this problem with my thinking that if I'm not constantly in this program thing, I forget. And so, like, all of a sudden, like, this group that was all hanging around, instead of there being, you know, seven of us, there was four. And then there was two. And then I was, you know, it was just me. And it was like, hey, you know, I kind of miss my old boyfriend. I kind of miss, you know, like, and I remember I had called him for something and another girl answered. And it was like, well, this sucks. You know, this program thing, you know, all this, all that like joy and wonder and amazement like fell from my memory. And all of a sudden I was just like, no, I'm pissed. You know, I'm going to show them. And, you know, it's just crazy the stuff that my, and that's why I always have to question what I'm thinking with other people, because my thinking isn't always right. Because I would think stuff like, well, why do I have to be responsible? Instead of I get to be responsible, it was like a problem. Or why do I have to be honest? Why do I have to do inventory? Why do I, you know? And so I had went back out after thinking I wouldn't. After thinking, no, I love recovery. I want to stay sober and do this thing. So when I went back, and I mean, I hadn't been sober long, right? I think I was so excited to get my 60-day chip, but I didn't make it. I think I made 58 days or something. And when I came back, we got you know, all those times I was afraid we were gonna get busted, but we finally got busted. and I was in jail, and Milwaukee Secure Detention Center, and you know, My boyfriend at the time was arrested, you know, other people, and I mean, I was, you know, pretty young, and I didn't worry about anything except I wasn't going to be able to use anymore. That was the only thing I was worried about. Like, I can't get any more dope. I can't get high anymore. And it's just an absolute prison when I do alcohol and drugs that I can't, like, yeah, I don't get to live. And so going to jail was actually a turning point. So went to jail, had gotten out. My boyfriend at the time that had also been arrested said, hey, I stashed an 8-ball. We'll just do one more good one. You know how many times we said, we'll just do one more good one? Like, so many times. And I said, no. I said, I can't. I was already afraid before we got busted. We were going to get busted. No, we got busted. I'll probably, you know, jump out of my skin. And so I said, no, didn't use. And had found out, I don't know, maybe like a week or two after getting arrested that I was like 4 weeks pregnant. And it was a spiritual awakening for me. I was like, whoa, well maybe, and I know about recovery because I had that small stint, right, in treatment. And I was like, well, maybe this is meant to be, like God was help, like saving my baby, you know, protecting my baby. And so I better go back to those meetings. And I went back. And it was like one of the Friday night on Colas. And, you know, there's still people that are in this room today that were there all those years ago. And, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I never dreamed like, oh, okay, I'm 19 years old, pregnant, I'm going to stay sober. Like, that wasn't my plan. It was like, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm pregnant. I gotta, you know, like, not use. And so I hear this girl, Angie, she always talks about the gift of desperation. And I really appreciate that because I was desperate. I was like, it wasn't like, oh, should we go to a meeting tonight? It was like, I gotta get to a meeting because otherwise I could use. And I was still living with my daughter's father at the time. And the bull that we tell each other, and I don't blame him because he was he believed it. He's like, no, I won't let you use. You don't have to move. Like, I didn't know you're pregnant. Well, I'll take, you know, and I'm like, you can stop me? Like, this isn't, you know, like alcohol and drug addiction, it's like a death sentence for me. I really feel like that. Like I, you know, I was talking about being in jail. When I was, I don't know, 11 or 12, I was at Fritchie Middle School, and I got hospitalized and had to have my stomach pumped for alcohol poisoning. And it never was I planning to drink too much. I just, when I start, I don't stop. I'm just like, more. More. I was talking at Wednesday night meeting. I said, I didn't care what you have. I would ask you, hey, can I have some? Like, I wouldn't even know what it was. And so when I came back, it was like, okay, for today, right? Today, this is what I need to do. And I remember going to the Uncolas, and then I went to a meeting at CA Central Office, which at the time was on 16th and Mitchell. And there was a guy there, and he was asking me if I had a sponsor, and I'm like, no. And he's like, hey, here's a list. Pick one name of, you know, one of the ladies off this list. And I picked a lady, and she was my sponsor for, I want to say, like, I don't know, 12 years? 10 or 12 years, like a long time. She moved away. She doesn't live around here anymore. But there were situations that would happen, right? Like, she'd be like, hey, we're going to work the steps. And I didn't say, well, I'm not ready. It was like, okay, what time? What day? what do we do? Like, because I really wanted to not use. I wanted to not use. And I still, even to this day, have a real fear of using. Maybe because I still see it. I still see it enough where it's like, oh, it's still kicking butt, man. And I remember that misery. And so, you know, I started coming around, started doing the stuff, and my gosh, you know, like that treatment, when I was talking about, like, going to bed at night and getting up in the morning, doing, like, responsible stuff, you know, like, it started to take hold. And all of a sudden, not only did I not want to use, I wanted to be sober. I wanted to be, like, in recovery sober. Not just not using, because some people are like, well, I could, you know, I don't have to go to those meetings anymore. Or, you know, I don't want to use. And I'm like, well, do you want to be in recovery? And really, that's the question I ask myself, you know, regularly is, hey, do I want to be in, what am I doing for my recovery? You know, what am I doing today? And I want to make sure I go to my notes so I don't miss this stuff. Don't blow it. So we started doing stuff like there would be the CA retreat. You know, that's one example. And I remember there would be like a ton of people or an agape or and I started saying yes to things, right? And be like, yeah, I'll try that. I'll do that. And it started to feel comfortable because at first it doesn't feel comfortable. It felt like crazy. And I would be like, well, everyone knows each other. Everyone, you know, no one sat next to me. You know, oh, this, you know, didn't feel right. Or, you know, just a ton of different ideals that my mind. There's one retreat director that I see, and she always says the false beliefs. You know, like, what are the false beliefs that are driving you today? And so, like, I started to have these experiences. It started to take hold. I really wanted to be sober. And all of a sudden, like, because I had dropped out of school pretty early, and I was getting my HSED, you know, carrying my daughter across the stage with me at MATC. And then, like, 5 years later, she's graduating from kindergarten, and I'm graduating with my bachelor's, and we're going to Disney, you know? And now, like, right before the meeting tonight, my daughter had called and said, hey, I'm in, you know, I live in Pewaukee. She's like, hey, I'm in Pewaukee. Do you mind if I stop by? And I'm like, ooh, Barb's coming to get me at 4. I don't know. But I went and gave her a hug because she's going to be a mom in like 2 weeks, you know. And I'm going to be a grandma. That's amazing. I know me, Barb, and Carol, like, well, let's get matching grandma shirts. You know, but those are the kind of stuff that I'm just like, how did this happen? How did the life just like get to a point where, like, I guess I'm still amazed by it. And that's, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, keeping like my eyes like a newcomer and the possibilities still. My sponsor, she had asked me to go to this meeting. It's her home group, right? It's Common Solutions, and it's like 150 people, and I'm always like, oh, so big, you know, that fear stuff starts to creep in, and I'm like, oh, what if they call me up to talk? Oh, I'd be scared. I started going because that's what my sponsor wants me to do. And every time I go, it's such a good meeting. I'm like, man, so good. I was so good. And they haven't called me up once. And then I start thinking, why aren't they calling me up? You know, something wrong with me? You know, like, my mind's just, you know, it's not always nice. Not always nice to me. But I think about, like, the stuff that I did back when I first got sober, right? You know, they told me, hey, ask God to help you stay sober. And then at night, thank him. Hey, why don't you, like, sign up for treats? Hey, why don't you greet? Why don't you, you know? And they would say something like, oh, I'm scared, or I don't, you know, feel I got to get there early, talk to people, you know, just all this stuff. And I'll tell you, service has been such a gift. But you don't know it, right? You're like, oh, it's, you know, they want me to do all this stuff, and it gets me out of myself, and it helps me to really become a better human being. Because I think recovery really, it's not about just not using today. It really is trying to become a better human being, and so God's not done with me yet. There's plenty of room for growth. As Quinn was clapping when I said I set my timer 1 year, and I mentioned this stuff because we all will have a situation where we're like, I can't believe I did that in front of everybody. Or I can't believe, you know, that happened. Or, you know, and your mind will tell you, well, you're fucked up. Oh, you're messed up. Like, and I want to tell you, you can get through it, right? I spoke for an hour. No one talks about it, right? No one says, oh my God. Actually, someone did. When I said, oh, did I speak too long? They're like, yeah, you did. But, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, hey, you can get through it sober. You don't have to use over that stuff. You can become free. And inventory, someone had asked about what inventory is, and I've been thinking about it, and this is how this works, right? Like, we learn from each other so much. But I've been thinking about it, and it talks about, hey, inventory isn't about like, hey, what's wrong, what's bad. It's about what's getting in my way of me and God and my fellows. And I got chills saying it because that's exciting. Like, I don't have to hold on to stuff that I learned when I was 7 or, you know, that my mom learned from her mom, that, you know. It's like, hey, I can ask myself, what's driving this, and how do I want to be? You know, how do I want to be going forward? So, today's miracles, and let me see the time here. I've got 1 minute. Today's miracles, see, it goes fast, right? All of a sudden. I've been a member, one of the most important things in my life, and I mean, I love being a mom. I love being, you know, a friend and a sponsor. My favorite thing is being a member of recovery. Of being a member of, like, that is the most important thing in my life. And it continues to support me in whatever crazy decisions I make, you know, because some of them are, you know, like it's still questionable. It's still sus. I've been a wife since 2004. Same relationship for over 20 years. No one would believe it. No. I'm a secretary at the New Hope Group. Shout out to Wednesday night at the Lake Area Club. Thanks for the ladies showing up from Bethany House. I do corrections once a month, so I go into MSDF and I take a meeting. Carol often joins me. And I have a decent job. And I said it's funny because that was like the last of my list. And when I got to recovery, I'm like, I just need a good job. You know? I don't know if any of you thought that. Like, yeah, if I just get a good job, then it'd be okay. But life continues to surprise me, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to share today. Thanks again to Susan for letting me asking me. And that's that. I'll pass.